The very first time that the word anger comes up in the scriptures, it happens within the home. Two brothers are at each other's throats, all the way in the book of Genesis, Jacob and Esau. Jacob deceives his father, and through his deception, he steals the family blessing from his brother Esau, who rightfully deserved the blessing. And Esau is left there with nothing, seething with anger. The father, he doesn't know what's going on. He's about to die. The mother's doing what moms do best, running around trying to protect her children from keeping them from killing one another. And she runs to Jacob and she says these words, "Behold, your brother Esau is going to kill you, so flee from here. Go to my relative's house far away and stay there until your brother's anger turns away." It's the first time we see that word in the scriptures, in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis. Anger shows up. And Moses, who's writing the story for us, wants to stress this point further, it seems, because he repeats the mother's words again. He writes, "Until your brother's anger turns from you, and he no longer remembers what you did to him." And here within the very first story of the Bible about anger, we find two common ingredients that go hand in hand. Anger and remembrance. Yes, Rebecca, the boy's mother, is absolutely correct. Jacob, every time your brother remembers what you did to him, he's going to be angry. He will want to murder you. Every time he remembers what you did, and your only hope is that he no longer remembers it. So you got to stay away until he forgets. See, anger and remembering, they go hand in hand. Every time we get angry, is it not because we're remembering what this person did or didn't do, what this person said or didn't say? What would life be like if we no longer had memory of the things that made us angry? Like a Men in Black sort of thing, where all of the past events that stir the anger in you were zapped from your memory. No more, "Well, I can't believe they said that to me," or "I can't believe they did that to me or my family," replaying constantly in your mind and changing your heart and your gut, making you toss and turn. Life would be a lot more peaceful if we had no memory of the things that made us angry. St. Paul writes in Colossians 3, chapter 8, to put it away from you, anger. He says, "Put to death what's earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. The wrath of God is coming. And all of these you once walked when you lived in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Remember them no more." Put them away. Easy to say, hard to do. When someone hurts your child, or when an unexpected bill arrives in the mail from a year ago, and then you spend hours on the phone getting the phone tree, and the anger just keeps seething. Or when your brother steals your family blessing, in Jacob and Esau's case. Or when the coach doesn't play your child, and now you're remembering all the other times they didn't play your child. All the other times that this person has failed you. All the other times that the person has betrayed you. All the other times that you've been slandered and the hurt and the pain. And again and around we go. All the remembering of all the past mistakes of others and our own past mistakes to others. It fills us with anger. I'm getting angry just talking about it. angry at one another, anger at myself, sometimes even anger towards God. If anger and remembering are intimately linked, adding to our ability to remember, all that makes us angry is technology. We watch angry people on TV for hours every day and give little thought to the change that this addicting anger is bringing to our country and our homes and in our own hearts. We love seeing the news person get all riled up. What if we treated the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, like we do the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery, when it comes to the TV? If a sexually explicit image comes on the TV and we're sitting next to our child or our spouse, would we not immediately cover our child's eyes and feel a little bit embarrassed to be sitting next to our spouse? But yet, when the fifth commandment is blatantly broken on the TV, and I'm not talking about just blowing people up or war, I'm talking about when someone gets angry, why do we not cover our children's ears or feel a little bit embarrassed to be sitting next to our spouse? We treat the fifth commandment like it's no big deal. We love seeing our political opponents get walloped. So is it a surprise to anyone that since the invention of the 24/7 news cycle, depression and anxiety levels have continued to rise in our country? And since the invention of social media, which now those extra doses of anger and vitriol and the ability to remember lies right in your front pocket at any given time, that people have become more and more angry, and the ways they cope with that anger, suicide and addictions, has reached epidemic levels in our country? Is it because that there are constant reminders in front of us to anger us? Constant reminders that this person did that. I can't believe that person said that. I can't believe they stand for that. No one has time anymore to stop and think for themselves. We're constantly being bombarded, and we are attracted to, this is our own problem, to the most angry people on our screens. The anger stirs us all up to be angry at one another, vilifying each other. Let me ask you, do the things that you watch on TV, the things that you spend looking at on your phone after you get done scrolling for 3 hours, do you leave filled with peace? Or do you leave filled with anger and resentment? Esau didn't have Facebook. He wasn't reminded every day of what Jacob was doing with the family blessing when he posted about the new family car that he bought with his inheritance. Esau had time to connect with the Lord. He had time to forgive. He had time to heal. He had time to rest. You and I don't have that luxury today. There are many anger-remembering devices around you constantly. Quick poll, who has a cell phone right in their pocket right now? Oh, you all are liars. I meant to have mine up here for the sermon and I forgot it. St. Paul writes, put it away, anger. We have to turn off the TVs. We got to set boundaries on our phones. There should be one day of the week, just one day, where there's no screen in front of you. Or just 1 hour of every day where you have time to connect with the Lord and time to rest and to heal. Get an accountability partner if you have to. It's for the good of your own home to put the technology away. I'm not saying that we go live in a hole or put our head in the sand or not pay attention to what's going on. Of course, we need to be aware of what's happening in our country. And we need to be on the front lines of confessing our faith. But for goodness sakes, we're in way in over our heads right now. A research team recently surveyed 1,000 children between the ages of 6 and 18. They asked them, if you could change one thing about your parents, what would that wish be? And the parents were asked the same question about themselves to do a little bit of self-reflecting. The answers were very different. The parents, when asked to examine themselves, predominantly said something like, well, they probably wish that they had more time with me. But the children's answers were strikingly different. They rarely wished for extra time with their parents. Instead, they wished that their parents would be less stressed out, less angry, more peaceful. Proverbs 14:29 says, one who is slow to anger has great understanding. Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger. If anything, how quickly you and I can become angry today, it shows how little sense we have. How consumed we all are by anger. And this anger does far more than cause stress in the home. Jesus tells us plainly in the words of the law, anyone who says you fool to another, anyone who insults his brother is liable to the hell of fire. Anger not only sets the whole house in flames, according to Jesus, it sets our entire body and soul in flames. You and I, we deserve hell for our anger and for the anger that we bring into our homes and to our children and the anger that we seethe towards others. And our only hope lies in someone who can forget, who can remember no more our sins, who can take all of our anger and all of our mistakes and the mistakes of others that have been done to us and forget them, remove them as far as the east is from the west. You see, when humans remember, we become bitter and angry, but when God remembers, it is a much different story. When God remembers Noah, he doesn't become angry. Instead, he puts away the anger of the flood, and he places a rainbow in the clouds, a sign to remember his ever faithful promise. When God remembers his people and Moses, he doesn't become angry. He puts away the anger of Pharaoh and the stiff-necked and stubbornness of his own people, and he gives to them a meal, a Passover, as a sign to remember his deliverance and promises. When God remembers his people, he doesn't get angry. He puts away the anger and taunts and slandering and suspicion and places his own child in the womb of a young virgin woman betrothed to her husband Joseph and says, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And in him, this Jesus, God will no longer remember the sins of his people. In Jesus, God will remove their sins as far as the east is from the west and remember them no more. For our God is a God who is slow to anger and abounds in steadfast love. The scriptures say that his anger is but for a moment, but his love lasts for a lifetime. His anger was poured out upon our Lord on that cross. All of your anger has been turned away, buried in his wounds, received and removed from you in Christ. The Lord's ultimate sign of remembering his only begotten Son, in whom he always remembers his steadfast love and faithfulness and promise to you and those who are found in him. I know that there are things in your life that you cannot forget. Memories and past mistakes, burdens and traumas, hardships and cruelty, and wounds that cut so deep that the anger endlessly swirls. You can't forget them because, well, you're human. But you can come to the table and receive the perfect remembering of your Lord Jesus, who knows your every sinful thought, your every sinful word and action, who knows your every act of anger and judgment, and yet remembers them no more. And his anger is turned from you. Take and eat, take and drink. This do in remembrance of me. Taste and see that the Lord Jesus is good, and that his mercy endures forever, and that the Lord is for you. He is for your children, for your neighbor, for your enemy. He is the one who is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Amen.